נעשו על ידי רבי צבי גפן.
Sorry, I actually... Okay. Parsha Sema. Reim Hashem al Moshe emor el ha-kahanim tzid kahanim b'nei Aaron v'matzeh lehem nefesh le'itama ba'amov. So Rashi says, famously, Emor el ha-kahanim v'amarta lahaze gedolim al ha-ketanim. So, Rav Moshe Feinstein, on the pasuk, where this is going to be the beginning of the halachas of what the dinei kahuna are. The halachas which Rashi says, the parents will teach the children. Ask Rav Moshe Feinstein, that the pasuk says, "Yom Hashem Moshe, Emor Lakanim Bnei Aaron, Vormata Aleihem." And you should say to them, "Ask for Moshe that the pasuk should say, Vormata Livneichem, that you should say to your children." Instead, the pasuk says, "You should say to the Kahanim, and you should say to them." It seems to be talking to the fathers again. Answer to Moshe Feinstein that if you want to know the best way to be mechanech your children, is Vormata Aleihem, then it's the way that you act. You know, do as I do and not do as I say. That's the first part of what Rav Moshe says. That the best way to inspire, you know, especially when it comes, by the age a child reached the teenage years, you can't anymore preach to a child. It's right, you can't preach to a teenager. What you can do is lead the way. Emor, if you lead in that way, then the children will see what it is that's important to you. But carries on the Maharal over here on this pasuk. And he brings the Torah. The Torah says that there are three things where the Torah says, you're mechuyev to pull your child away. Normally, you don't give your child something in terms of what you're not allowed to do to a katan. But there's three areas, says the Torah, that you're mechuyev to pull your child away. What are the three areas that you have to take your child away? One of them is shkatzim, and one of them is from shkatzim as in creepy crawlies. The other one is dam, is from blood. And the other one is in the area of gehuna. It's an area of making sure that your child isn't metameh to tumah by a kohen. Says the Torah, says Rav Berkowitz said this. He says, we understand that obviously when it comes to shkotzim, when it comes to blood, that's part of like the menu of a Jew. Like the Jewish menu is like, we don't go near those things. That's like something very basic. And therefore, from the youngest age, you tell a child, you pull them away, say, shkotzim, like creepy crawlies, dumb, this is something which is so basic, to the understanding that there's something that you stay away from. But kahuna is something else. What's like kahuna is something new that you have to teach your child from the youngest age. What is that? That what was happening over here is that a child would be, you know, with his friends. They're all having fun, playing in a certain field, and then you've got to go and tell the child, I'm sorry, you can't play here because you're a kohen, and you've got different rules to everyone else. So, the child's going to be upset. The child's going to be like, well, all my friends are playing. Why can't I do the same? So therefore, from the youngest age, you have to instill into your child that you are a Kohen and you are different. Said differently, if you want to instill in your child rules, then the way to do that is from the youngest age, tell them that they are different and special to the rest of the world. Often when we take groups to Poland, and you know, we go into, whether it's a camp or whether it's kvarim, into a basic kvaros, so the student has to be split up from the rest of the group. The Talmud can't go into the basic kvaros, you can't go into a camp where there's going to be a shaila, especially in the camps, a shaila of bones being in that place of tumah. So we're supposed to tell the student, you know, all their friends have gone in, they're going to, you know, pay for this experience, they're going to go into the camps, they're going to go into the basic kvaros, and they can't go in. So one way to say it is like, I'm really sorry, like, you're kind, you can't go in. So one time when we were there, the tour guide could see that the student was very upset that they wouldn't be allowed to go into the basic kvaros. So he went up to him and said, listen, you know, today you can't go to the basic kvaros, and I'm sure you're going to be very upset. But very, very soon, there's going to be a time when the whole of Klal Yisrael are going to be on the outside, and you are going to be on the inside. That you are going to be a kohen, you're going to be serving the Beis HaMikdash. Is instilling in them, not from a space of rules, but rather from a place of, like, the gaiva of a yid, the shtolz of a yid, like, you're special, you're different to the rest of the world. So when it comes to explaining to a child, like, you can't do this, and you can do this, you can't do this, like, I remember, you know, we know that every single year here, we can't anymore, we live in a society, we can't avoid the outside world anymore. You can't, you tell them, no, what are you supposed to do about it? What we do is from the youngest age, you instill them with a sense of pride, that we're special to the rest of the world. We are mamleches kainim v'goy kadosh. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sold the Aseres HaDibros to Klal Yisrael, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was selling the Torah to the Bnei Yisrael, which would be a bunch of rules, a lot of it, it'd be a relationship with Hashem. What was the selling point that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu? Davar Bnei Yisrael, go tell them what? What's the selling point before he tells them Aseres HaDibros? V'atem tiuli mamleches kainim v'goy kadosh. Who are you to me? Mamlecha is kind of a great kaddish. You're special. You have a role in the world. You have a mission. You have a drive. You're different to the rest of the world. Now go and tell them what they have to do and what they can't do. But what it began with was Mamlecha is kind of a great kaddish. And therefore, it's from this place, that by Kuhuna, we're told a halacha in chinuch, that lahazik don malaktanim, that the way that you are, the way they're going to raise a child is in this way. Recently, I saw a story about the Panovich Rav. Now, the Panovich Rav, we knew, had this unquenchable thirst. He would travel around the world. He'd stop at nothing to build and build Klal Yisrael, to build the yeshivas, to build orphanages, to build everything. And he was one time, he came late at night into the place that he was staying. And his host could see that he was very tired, very wary. And he said, like, what can I do for you? You know, so he went and made him a coffee. And the Panovich Rav, he's sitting there, he's exhausted. And he says, you want to try and help me? Give me another name of someone else I can visit tonight. So the host said, like, Rosh Yeshiva, I can see you're so exhausted. Where do you get this energy that just non-stop? Where do you get this strength from? So he said to him that when I was 11 years old, it was Purim, and my mother was baking a cake for the Rav of the Shtot. I said, I'm baking a cake for the Rav of the Shtot, Avakar Satoiv. So my father, he hopped on that, they were making Mishlachmanos for the Rav of the Shtot. And my father, I was 11 years old at the time, said that there was a peddler just come to town, and he bought Baba Basra. And I know that the Rav doesn't have a Baba Basra, so I also want to give Mishlachmanos, I want to give him a Baba Basra. So my mother finished baking the cake, my father gave me the Gemara Baba Basra, and we took it to the Rav's house. And we came to the Rav's house. And the Rav saw the Baba Basra, he picked up, and he started dancing around the table. I have a Baba Basra, I have a Baba Basra. And the Panovich Rav is copying what his Rav did. And then he said, then the Rav said to his wife, do you want to give me Mishlach Manas today? And the wife said, yeah, of course, I'd love to give you Mishlach Manas. So he said, you know, yesterday we discussed that we'd start our meal at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Our Purim saw that at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. If you want to give me Mishlach Manas, please give me an hour, I want to start my Gemara Bava Basra, and then we'll start the Suda at 6 o'clock. And he said, that feeling of excitement, that feeling of how Torah was so important to him, was seared into my soul, into my neshama from the youngest age. And because of that, all I wanted to do my whole life was is instilled in me a passion of Yiddishkeit, a passion of building Torah, and a passion of everything, from the youngest age. By setting the example, by showing what's important, by leading by that way, is how someone instills in that next generation a passion of what's important to them and how special it is what we have in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Later on, the parasha, we find the famous mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Now, it's very interesting that the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem is somewhere in the middle of nowhere. You know, the first part is all about the mitzvahs of the Kohen. After the mitzvahs of Kiddush Hashem, we get to the Moyadim, which talks about all the different Yom Tovim, and Shabbos, of course, in the middle of that. Now, how does Kiddush Hashem fit into that? So we know that on the, you know, if you want to know what Kiddush Hashem is on the superficial level, well, not superficial level, but on a sweet level, we're told when we were younger, when you go on a outing, make a Kiddush Hashem, because people are going to be looking at you, they know that you're a Yidden, make sure to make a Kiddush Hashem, because people are going to be looking at you. But we know on a deeper level, what's Kiddush Hashem? Rambam tells us, a person has to be able to say, I'm prepared to give my life up for Kiddush Hashem. I'm prepared to die up in Kiddush Hashem. That's what I'm prepared to do. Now, not every day do we have that moment, or as Rabbi Kiva said, that opportunity. But how does that live in our everyday life? So, if we need to explain more Kiddush Hashem, then we have to understand, what does Kedusha mean? What's the word Kedusha? So the Rambam defines for us, what does Kedusha mean? He calls it Hiskabros HaSeichel. It means using the mind, being able to think, and making the right choices. And every day, Kiddush Hashem means, I'm choosing HaKadosh Baruch Hu over something else. I'm prioritizing my values, I'm prioritizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and doing what's right over what's wrong. So every time we're faced with an opportunity for a moment, and it's hard, I'm choosing HaKadosh Baruch Hu over what, and I'm sacrificing because that's what's right. Which means my emunah, yeah, on the moment where we're asking for our life for Kiddush Hashem, yeah, that's one level. But in everyday life, where you have a difficult choice, do I do what's right? Do I do what's right? Or do I do what's wrong? Kiddush Hashem, my emunah tells me that this is real. Which means I'm going to, life isn't it's nice to be a yid. It's cool, it's nice. Life isn't like, it's comfortable being a yid. Life is in everyday life making a decision that this is so real, so important. And even if it's uncomfortable, but I'm going to do what's right, because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking of me. This is what it means to be a Yid. Living every day after Kiddush Hashem. Rabbi Akivitz would always talk about Rabbi Yitzchok Zilber. I highly recommend his book to everyone to read. He was in Siberia. He was a Gaon Olam, and he eventually, after he left Russia, he went to live in Sanhedrin Mechevet. And he, while he was there in Siberia, he was a Gaon, he was a Talmud Chacham, he was a Moisei Nefesh. While he was living, he had to go sent to Siberia because his professor in school said, I see that you haven't been writing on Shabbos. And he said, you're right, I'm a Jew. And he was sent to the Gulag, he was sent to Siberia. And there his mother had sewn into his shoes, his tefillin, and every single morning he put on tefillin. And one time there was a friar Yid over there who said to him, like, what are you doing? Like, you're still keeping a hold on to your Yiddishkeit. Why do you do it? And Zilber said, tomorrow, Stalin's, this minute, he said, this minute, Stalin's head could be chopped off and he could die. And later on they found out that, it's in the book, later on they found out there was that day, that time, that Stalin had been killed.
What was the name of the book?
It's called To Remain a Jew. Yitzchok Zilber, I highly recommend. Like, mysterious nefesh in such a real way for his Yiddishkeit. So, Rabbi Yitzchok Zilber said like this. He said, the Gemara tells us that Chanan ben Trajan had been called by the Romans for the terrible crime of teaching Torah. And he's going to be sent to his death. He's going to be burnt alive at the stake. And just before he's about to die, the Talmidim come over to him, and he says, am I going to get Olam Haba? He says, am I going to get Olam Haba? Such a strange question. What do you mean? He'd just been killed. He'd been teaching Torah. Both of them were teaching Torah. And he's asking, am I going to get Olam Haba? Of course he's going to get Olam Haba. So they say, Kulam Ha'asabar Yodecha. Did you do anything good in your life? So what did he say? He said, one time, I had some money mixed up between Maisa and non-Maisa. Now I wasn't sure, and I gave it all to Tzedakah. So the Rabbanim said, if that's what you did, then for sure you're going to get Olam Haba. So I asked Zilba, something so small, he had some money mixed up, he decided to give it to Tzedakah. He was teaching Torah in public, risking his life to be able to teach Torah. He's going to be killed for that. And he's asking, am I going to get Olam Haba? Said Zilba, that to do a Kiddush Hashem on the big stage, to die in style, die a hero, it's easy, but it's big. But that's not the sign of someone who lives with real emunah, real Kiddush Hashem. To be able to choose Hashem is in everyday life. And where in the moment of privacy, he's at home, and he's got money mixed up, is it Maisa, is it not Maisa? And at that point he says, I'm choosing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm choosing what's right. Say the Talmidim, that if in that moment you chose what's right in private, then that's a sign that everything he did in the big stage was also L'Shem Shemayim. To be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim is in our everyday life, is choosing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, choosing what's right. Choosing that. That's why that the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem is next to all the Yomim Tovim. Why? Let's just choose Shabbos, for example. What's Shabbos? What is Shabbos? We spoke last time about Shabbos is greeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean to greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shabbos is a day that I am saying that the 6 days, that it gives me my perspective for the 6 days. It's the middle of the cube that holds all the other 6 days of my life. Come Shabbos, I understand that the 6 days of the week is nothing as important as my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos is tapping into what's real and what's important. That's what Shabbos is. It says, you know, there's a famous Gemara that tells us that if the Yidden kept two Shabbosos, then Mashiach would come. Why'd you have to keep two Shabbosos? Says the Ksav Kabbalah, something so beautiful. You know, if you think like this, how would those two Shabbosos look like? So I would think, it's just about the Shabbos. So I have a Sunday, Monday, I have Shabbos. I have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then I have Shabbos. Says the Ksav Kabbalah something so beautiful. He says, not just about two Shabbosim. But what about the rest of the week? So he says that first you have a Shabbos. That Shabbos, all the Yidden in the world keeping properly means they understand why I live for in the world. They understand that there's an Ebishter. They understand what's important, what I live for. They understand that it's not about the cars, it's not about the promotion, it's not about the bonus. It's about Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what I live for. That's what's important. And then my 6 days of the week are different, and Shabbos, and then Mashiach is able to come. It's an entire week based on first keeping Shabbos, and by keeping Shabbos, my whole week is different, including Shabbos, and Mashiach is able to come. Because the whole world looks different by all of us keeping the 6 days properly and keeping Shabbos properly. Because Shabbos gives us that perspective. That's why it says, anyone who does Shabbos properly, it gives someone all everything that he desires. What do you mean? I keep Shabbos. I haven't got all my desires. I haven't got I've got a bashed up car outside. I haven't sold my house, and I haven't got all my, the car, the holiday I want. I haven't got my house I wanted to rebuild. I haven't got that. So what does it mean? Shabbos. Says the Shem Shmuel, that someone appreciates Shabbos and taps into what Shabbos is, then he has Kol Mishalis Liboy. He has a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has the greatest gift in the world. That is Mishalis Liboy. He recognizes and realizes there's nothing more important, nothing more beautiful than that. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is not as important as what I have. Shabbos. I have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have Hashem. That's what's important. That's what I'm dreaming. That's what I'm wishing for. This is what makes a person fulfilled. The last thing I wanted to share, of course, it's Yimei HaSfira, and the Parsha talks about counting the Sfira, is Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. Yeah? Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. So, why do we count the Omer? Because Yidim are counting from leaving Mitzrayim to Shavuos. Ask you a question. When were they told the date of receiving the Torah? Huh? They weren't told it. They never knew when they were receiving the Torah. So like, were they counting till 49? So yeah, they were counting towards Kabbalah's Torah. But they never knew they were getting the Torah. So what was this counting all about? That's what Rebecca gets this question. Whenever you ask a question, it's always like, why didn't I never think about that before? Every time. So he used to explain like this.
Sorry, who explained?
Rabbi Yitzchok Berkowitz, Hagoyim HaGadol. He explained like this. He said that we know when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they experienced all the Nisim of Mitzrayim, they experienced Kriyas Yamsuf. It says by Kriyas Yamsuf that Maro Shifcha or Shifcha saw the greatest of the great. They saw everything. And they're after all of those experiences. And they come to Mara, and what happens? The Pasuk says, Somloi Chayk Umishpat. They were given three mitzvahs. They were given mitzvah Shabbos, Paraduma, and Paraduma, Shabbos, and Mishpatim. Now, and Kivdovim. Thank you. Kivdovim. Now, they hadn't yet received a Torah. So why did Hashem give them these mitzvahs? Said Rabbi Berkowitz, that when they left Mitzrayim, but they left that place of Tumah. When they were now, after Kriyas Yamsuf, and experienced all that, they were like, they saw Nevuah, they saw Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kriyas Yamsuf. What are they going to talk about? Talk about the weather? They're going to talk about the football? There was no football. What are they going to talk about? Like, they're washing their clothes? They had their clothes done for them. So what were they going to do? There's nothing that... Well, everything was rubbish. Nothing was important. They were like thirsty for something real. They were thirsty for something important in life. Hashem, give us something to talk about. We don't talk about rubbish. We don't talk about weather. We don't talk about like the stuff of everyday life. We're thirsty for something real. So Hashem had to give them mitzvahs to talk about, to handle in, to like, speak about, because that was now important to them. That's what they were wishing and wanting to talk about. So when they came out with Mitzrayim, they were just like counting days. They didn't know when they were going to get the Torah, but they were counting days like, when are we going to get something important? When was Hashem going to give us finally what we were wishing and dreaming for? Because we can't live like this anymore. We need something. They were counting days, waiting for Hashem to give them something. What he had promised them. Because they weren't anymore going to be happy with just the stuff that they had until now in their life. Some Reichoik or Mishpat was a recognition that the Yidden needed something important. This is what the entire parsha of Emor is teaching us. It's teaching us that the way that we look at our Yiddishkeit is in a way that we understand that this is something which we are excited about, this is something which is important to us, this is something which we understand was our purpose in life of a Mleches Kainim V'Goy Kodesh. You know, when someone walks past a restaurant, always an interesting question. What are you supposed to say? So, a non-kosher restaurant. What's the person supposed to say? That?
It's very nice,
by the way. It's very nice, by the way. Gemara tells us, Yefshi, or about Kodesh Baruch Hu, it comes first. How do you understand that? Like, which means, how do you frame that feeling? Says the Shem Shmuel like this. He says that Peter Evan Ezra says when it comes to the mitzvah of Nesachmoid, Evan Ezra gives that mashal of someone says like, this has no shaykhus to me. In the same way, someone very great doesn't want a king doesn't want to marry a peasant because they have no shaykhus to one another, have no connection to one another. So too, he says when it comes to the mitzvah of Nesachmoid, I'm not jealous because what they have is what's good for them, and what I have is good to me. Says the Shem Shmuel that the way that Yid looks at what Hashem has given us to eat and not to eat is with the understanding that if that was good for me, then Hashem would make it available and look good and tasty and healthy for me. But if Hashem has said that I can't have it, then it's not healthy for me, it's not good for me, and all I want, and it can't, and it's not good for me. Because Hashem has given me only things that are good for me. Histaka baraisa bar alma, Hashem created the world and gave us kashrus, and because of that, these foods are going to be healthy for me. But for the attitude of, I don't want that because that's not good for my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't want it. I don't want it because it's almost going to be good for me. It's not like this is awesome, and this is bad, and this is bad, and this is not good for you. Everything's like wrong. It's not a rules, but rather in positive building of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They understand that what I'm heading towards, what I'm trying to build, ultimately, is who I am as a Yid, and build my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's stolt in a child. It's pride in a child. Instead of telling them, you can't do this, rather build it from the positive. And tell them, the reason why this isn't good for you is because we have a role to play in the world. And we want to build a life of Kedusha, a life of thinking, a life of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this won't be part of that. It's a chinuch mentality of instilling in children a sense of pride. And as Moshe Feinstein said at the beginning of the parasha, it begins with us. It begins with us heading towards Shavuos by this feeling of there's nothing like being a Yid. That this is something that I want, something I'm excited about, something that I'm passionate about. They say famously by Baron Kotler, when they came to America, and there were people most nefesh to keep Shabbos. Most nefesh to keep Shabbos, but some of their children didn't end up sharing Shabbos, some of the kids did end up sharing Shabbos. Said, my high, what's the difference between the two families? They're all most nefesh keep Shabbos. Says Baron Kotler that, yeah, they came home and they said, I keep Shabbos. I keep my Yiddishkeit, but talk about the price of the meat, talk about the price of kosher, they talk about, it was difficult, they've lost, it was a sense of like, it's difficult. Ah, I can't do this on Shabbos. Like, what's a shame? I'm missing the football, right? I'm missing something. But the other Yidden said, of course it's worth it. Of course it's worth it. My Yiddishkeit is so much more valuable than anything else in the world. It's with living that, by enthusiasming that, by living that life of passion, this is what we're zeicha to have Bonichai and Zonu Riche to go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Mitzvah Hashem. Good job.